in Ezekiel chapter 8, if you have your Bible, I want you to notice with me. And please, I hope you brought your King James Version with you. I hope you don't have the RSV or the Living Bible or the Good News for Modern Man. But I trust that every one of you that have gathered here for this rally service today have brought your King James Version with you. Now, if you don't have a King James Version, get you one and junk all that other old mess that you got around the house. We need to get rid of all those things. God. Now, I want you to notice in the 8th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel had a vision, and he saw the glory of God. And in his vision, there he saw the good things that God had blessed him with. And then God speaks to him and tells him to go into the temple. And that's where we're going to begin reading today, where God speaks unto Ezekiel and says, Ezekiel, I want you to go into the temple. Verse 5 says, Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes, now the way toward the north. So I lifted up mine eyes the way toward the north, and behold the northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. He said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest what they do? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far from my sanctuary, but turn thee yet again, that thou shalt see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. And he said, and then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, Go, and behold the wicked abominations they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things, an abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel, portrayed upon the wall round about. Then I'd have you to turn with me, please, to the 9th chapter. If you will, the next chapter. You'll turn just one page and look with me in the next chapter. You'll find that he's talking. And as he speaks here in verse 4, and then the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city and through the midst of Jerusalem and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for all of the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. Now notice what he said. He said, I want you to set a mark upon the people that are sighing and crying over the abominations that you see thereof. Now you may be seated, and I want you to bow your head for prayer. Our Father, we thank thee today for every blessing that we have already enjoyed in this service. We thank thee, our Father, for the Spirit of the living God. And our Father, we thank thee as we come on this hour to bring the Word of God that art real. Oh, how we need to see, as Ezekiel saw in his day, the abominations in the holy place. How we need, our Father, to have our eyes so stayed upon the sanctuary until we'll see that which God would have us to see. And I pray that you'll speak to everyone that's gathered in this congregation and wherever this message is heard around America. Oh, God, I pray that the fundamental churches, we that believe something, we that stand for something, will come back to holy standards and come back to the Word of God and be truth to the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, our Father, for everything you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Beloved, I want to speak to you on abominations in fundamental churches. And let me say, by way of introduction, I waited for years for somebody else to preach this sermon. I believe, my friend, that I've seen in the last 5 years a slipping away, a letting up, a backing down among the fundamental churches of our land. You say, preacher, are you a fundamentalist? I want you to know I'm a fundamentalist. I believe this Bible from cover to cover. I thank God for every fundamental church in America. I'm not here to down us. I'm here to tell you we need to sweep around our front door. Brother, if America has a revival, it'll not come through the modernist. It'll not come through citywide meetings. It'll come through Bible preaching and Bible-believing churches. If God's going to work, it's going to be through the fundamentalist. But I say to you, the only hope that America has on this Sunday afternoon is through the people that believe something. But would you notice with me, Ezekiel, back in his time, God showed him the glory. I believe a few years ago, God raised up these fundamental churches and placed upon them the glory. glory of God. But I believe in these last few years that God also has witnessed what Ezekiel saw. He came to the sanctuary and he looked at the abominations and the creeping things and the idols. And the word of God said he sighed and he cried. And I believe every preacher in America that believes God's book ought to sigh and cry over the conditions that you'll find in the average fundamental church across this land. And you say, preach amaze. What happened in Ezekiel's time? Those people that didn't cry, they didn't have the mark on them. And the Bible said they were finally destroyed. And there was a great slaughter in Jerusalem. And brother, if the fundamental churches do not come back to where she once was, or the church was, I'm afraid that God's judgment is going to fall upon this nation. You say, what happened? Did you see old Ezekiel go up there and with weeping eyes? He looks at that sanctuary and he said, my Lord, here are the people that believe something. Here are God's chosen people. And here they are looking at the idols. And they've got these things painted on the walls. And brother, it disturbed Ezekiel. And he sighed and he wept and he cried. I believe if you love Jesus and you see the church that Jesus is building with his idol worship and his sin and his backsliding, I believe you ought to weep and sigh at the church that God's raised up. The church that Jesus said, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let me say before I get in the message that there is a church. And brother, the church that Jesus is building, brother, nothing's going to stop it. It's not going down, but God is going up. Yes, I swear. And your name's what it is. And the church that Jesus built, is building, he said, upon this rock I build my church. But the gates of hell shall never prevail against it. And with that in mind, listen to me. As Ezekiel, I want us to go in to the average fundamental church. I want to show you some things that ought to make you sigh, that ought to make you cry this Sunday afternoon. First of all, the first abomination is a strange sound from the fundamental pulpit. Did you know if you go in some of our fundamental churches, you'll hear a sound of compromise and soft soap and brother middle of the road and hurt nobody, hit nothing, miss everything, don't disturb anybody. But the real old-fashioned fundamental pulpit used to be a sounding board, and every evil that would come up, brother, that old preacher take a stand against it. That old preacher wasn't afraid. But you take the average fundamental pulpit, that's a sound of soothing. Don't make anybody mad. We got to build a big number. And we don't want to cause old sister highbrow, our old deacon so-and-so, to get his feathers rubbed. Brother, let me tell you something. We need to preach and have the fundamental pulpit on us in the sound of authority and the sound of God's message and the sound against sin and the sound against the devil. And every time an issue comes up, brother, it ought to be we raise up, because it's a spiritual issue. It's a moral issue. It's an issue here in this day. Can you imagine Isaiah going in and saying, I'm sorry? He went in and said, bless God, King, I want to tell you where I stand. Can you imagine Elijah going into the court and saying, well, Jezebel, I'm not going to hurt you and your old Ahab of a husband. Bless God, he stirred everything and all the sin in the court, mister. Can you imagine John the Baptist coming down and so wiping honey out of his mouth and sugar cane out of his hair and saying, you lovely little people. Brother, he said, listen to me. I want you to know that you're worse than offspring of vipers. And he said, repent. And brother, there used to be a sound from the pulpit of fundamentalism. God, that old preacher would rear back and preach against sin and preach against issues and preach at the altar priest. And he wasn't scared either, mister. I'll tell you something, it didn't make any difference whether the mayor's guilty or the city council was guilty. Bless God, it didn't make any difference where deacons were guilty. He knew that he had a job of taking the old gospel and pulling the hide off and pouring salt around the bones. Amen. I'll put the preacher down in I asked for the preacher one time, and he's a gracious preacher, but he didn't want you to preach rough to his people. He said to me, feed my sheep. I was a preaching down there one time, and there's a church back hill full of people in Hoganville, and I never will forget it. I was a preacher, and that preacher sitting behind me, and I got off on chewing the back of dipping snuff, wearing shorts and living like a devil, and he said, feed my sheep. And I said, bless God, these old card playing, dancing, cussing, ripping church members. And he said, feed my sheep. And I turned around and I said, Monroe, there's a fat now. You can't see the liars. You need to have the old fashion. He haunted my God. And that needs to be done in the stand time. You say, preach amaze. What about the abominations in fundamental churches? The first abomination is the strange sound of soothing syrup that's coming from the pulpit. Number two, the second abomination in the fundamental churches of our time is the strange sight that you'll behold when you enter into the average church. You'll think you're in a go-go club. Are you listening? You'll think you're in hippie town. Oh, you say, preacher, the strange sight. I want to tell you something. It's a sad day when the fundamentalist has to take every old reprobate that comes along and say, well, we can't straighten him and we can't have any standards. If he wants to wear long hair, let him. I want to tell you, bless God, it's time we preachers take a stand against the mopheads and the men in the country that need their hair the same. Hold it. Here's the second thing. It's time some of you preachers preach against these miniskirts. Let me tell you something. Bless God, it's time some of you women, whether you're saved or not saved, realize a little decency ought to be in the house of God. And bless your heart, you shouldn't come in here. And, you don't have to go to the massage parlors and the go-go clubs and the places like that around here. Oh, you got to go to the average, the fundamental, independent church. And somebody'll get up. Some old sister'll get up, bless God, with her dress so short it's indecent. And the preacher say, well, ain't nothing I can do about it. I'll tell you why. Because your wife, bless God, hops around in the same attire and you can't say anything about it. Your daughter does it. And you can't preach against it. In that sad verse, God, stand up. Oh, you see? Abomination number two, the strange sight. And I want to tell you something else. You hold tight in your seat belts, cause some of you go sky high. It's an abomination to come into fundamental church and see women with pantsuits on, talk around looking like men. And that's restriction of men in the house of God. See, amen. Brother, listen, God's house is a place of atmosphere of worship. Oh, it ain't a picnic to come in. God's house is a place of reverence. God's warehouse is a place where we're to come in to reverence him. And we ought to be sure that our lives are what they ought to be. Let me give you two scriptures, and I'll go to the third abomination. First of all, it says in Jeremiah 15, verse 2, set up a standard. And let me say this to you. If the fundamental church of America doesn't set up a standard in the next 10 years that Jesus carries, I don't know where we'll be. If she drifts as much as she has in the last 5 years, in the next 10 years, old Jeremiah said, set up a standard. Brother Lee, listen. Oh, listen, follow me, list. We need to set up some standards in the house. One other scripture, now go to the next one, listen to me. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing. Oh, you say, preacher, God's people ought to be a transformed people. And we're to look like Christians. We're to talk like Christians. We're to smell like Christians. And I want to tell you something else. Bless God, some of you come in the church smelling like you've been out turning Reynolds tobacco. Come in. You ought to take a bath before you come in to the house of God and be clean and smell like in the house of God. Say, amen. Brother, we need it. Oh, conform not. I'm talking about people that's supposed to love something. I'm talking about somebody that's supposed to believe something. I'm talking about fundamentalists that have conformed to this world instead of conforming to to the modesty and the standard of the Word of God. I don't know about you, but I made up my mind. I'm going with this book. I want to stand with the standard. God, I believe the Son, we need in these days to set up a standard and be not conformed to this world. Abomination number two. Abomination number three. Strange sounds from the music department. Oh, you listen to me. God, we might as well bog in here and get some of these abominations out. You get somebody that says, well, the young people have got to have gospel rock. Who are you pleasing, young people? Bless God, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, somebody said, we got to have the kind of music, contemporary style, and get us a bunch of monkeys in there. And that's exactly what it looks like when you go into the average fundamental church and look in the choir. It looks like a bunch of monkeys in the choir. You listen to me? Looks like a bunch of monkeys. One old lady down there said, my children have got the monkey records. I said, you better come and throw them things away. They'll end up the top of a coconut tree. Say amen. God help us today. Oh, yes. And I said, well, I'll tell you, preacher, I like that jungle beat, not me. Oh, I tell you, I like to go into God's house and hear how firm a foundation. Give thanks to the Lord. I like to hear there is a fountain filled with water. And Emmanuel says, I like to hear amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved the wretch like me. I'll tell you, in the Bible, singing was sacred. And singing ought to be sacred. Singing lifts you up. Singing gets you ready for preaching. And singing is part of worship. And God help the fundamentalist. And they go out after the jungle beats of this world. Let me give you one other thing about this singing. I'll have to go to this abomination. And that's that old grasshopper quartet you get in. Say amen right there. Bless God, making love and licking the microphone like his lipstick. Amen. Amen. You know what? Praise God, you know. Hip hopping around. And Proverbs 9:10 something are not worth a nickel to the local church. They're not worth a nickel to God. They're not worth a nickel, brother, to the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. You say, I belong to the Grasshopper Quartet. I'm ringing your number, honey. Yes, sir. And somebody said, preacher, I'll tell you what. Oh, isn't it pitiful? It's sad. Some old beetle look. I want to tell you something. You can get mad at the devil if you want to. You come to the average church and the quartet gets up. It looks like Henry Mancini around there. With drums and guitars and everything, bless God, you couldn't hear them sing for the noise. And they gotta have all of that back there. I don't blame, listen, if I sang like some of them, I'd beat everything I could to kill all the sound. And brother, you put it down. That's my name's abominations in fundamental churches. And somebody said, preacher, brother Mays, what about the abominations that we have in the fundamental churches? Abomination number four. And boy, this will get some of you. The spirit of Phariseeism. The strange spirit of Phariseeism. My little crowd's the only little crowd's got it. And if you don't belong to this little church, you're not it. Well, I want to tell you something, bless God. God just is going to bless somebody besides your little crowd. And that old Pharisee spirit running around saying, I tell you, I got it. Nobody else has got it. You're going to be surprised having one of these days to wake up and find that you didn't have a monopoly on the blessings and the power and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you think it's abomination is to go to fundamental church. We're the only one in Greensboro standing for God, you hypocritical people. Say amen. That's right. I hear them say, well, I could tell you. You ought to be around our church. Brother Mace, we got it. Have you? Well, tell you, have you really? You got a bunch of Pharisees, probably, and a bunch of legalists in there. And listen, it's a bunch of people that think that God only blessed them. Let me show you something. Now, let you go on, listen to me now. There's an old boy in the Bible, his name was Elijah. In 1 Kings 19, verse 14, he got out of that tree and said, now, God, I'm the only one that loves you around here. I'm the only one that has. haven't bowed mine to Baal. I'm the only one that's still standing could have job. Then the Holy Ghost said, wait a minute, Elijah. I've got 7,000 God that love me. And I've got 7,000 that don't have that old spirit of holy Job are better than thou. And brother, listen, that spirit of Phariseeism, that strange spirit, is killing many of our fundamental churches. I want to ask you something. You say, well, I don't chew in gum just to brag about it. Well, you might as well have a mouthful if that's all you're doing it for. You say, well, I'll tell you, Brother Mace. Now, Brother Roy knows this is so. I don't know why I quit preaching on this. I think I couldn't find any scripture for it. But I used to preach against women wearing earbuds. I used to call them stop signs, stop lights. And I used to go to Newport, Tennessee, when Brother Bob was there. And 1 week before I'd get to Newport, every woman in Newport, Tennessee would take her ear stoppers off and hide them till I'd leave town, and then they'd go back and get them ear stoppers and put them back on. Now, let me tell you, I don't care what you do, if you're doing it for some little preacher or to some little crowd, listen to me, you better do what you do for Jesus and for God's glory. Well, because the Bible says it. And if you're doing it just for the preacher, why, some of you got all kind of magazines at your house. If a preacher comes and you see him, you'll say, have them magazines. And some of you women will holler, cut off at the general hospital. You ought to come to the preacher. Oh, hide it. Pick out the bed. Do something. I want to tell you something. Bless God you put it down this Sunday afternoon. If all you're doing that for is that little old preacher, whether he's Mays Jackson in Newport, Tennessee, or whether it's somebody here, listen to me, mister. If we're a bunch of Pharisees, and if we have the spirit, that I've got it all, nobody else has got it. Every once in a while I meet some old saint. They never have been to college. They never have had much money. They've been out there alone with God. And oh, that old saint will say, Preacher Mays, I want to tell you about how sweet it is to get along with God, and how sweet it is to live in the secret of His holy place, and enjoy the secret of His presence. And sometimes they'll say, I don't drink cocoa, but I'm not a Pharisee. I don't smoke, but I'm not a Pharisee. And I want to tell you the worst thing in the world you can have, and one of the abominations in the church, is for an old Pharisaical spirit that you'll find in the house of God. 5, and this will get some of you. Number 5, the 5th abomination that you'll find in the house of God. And brother, this is sad, but it's so. The 5th abomination, silly women getting out of their places when they ought to be in their places in the house of God. Silly women! You listen to me. And I'm going to say a couple of things first, and then when I get down, we're going to dig up some things today. Number 1, if it wasn't for the good, praying, consecrated, dedicated women, I don't know what we'd do in some of our churches. Some of you men are so no count, no good. Bless God, you won't do anything. And the woman has to do it all. Listen to me. It's not a woman's place to take the Bible at home and open it up and read the Word of God. It's your place, mister. Oh, it's not a woman's place to take the head of the house, even at home. But listen to me. Some of you women have to. Your husband's never saying, that's a shame. That's abomination. That is. And then some of you men, it's a hen peck. It's pitiful. Say amen. Give me one of them uh-ohs. Uh-oh, that's good right there. Amen. Oh, I knew after a while the world would come out with it, huh? Yes, sir. But just as sure as your name called this, my name's Brother Mace. A woman has a sacred place. God took woman from the side of man. Oh, to be a helpmate. And a woman has a place. And when she's in a place, it's a blessed thing to be a holy woman. And I want to tell you, when the woman's out of place anywhere, when she's out of place running downtown here, listen to me, that's wrong. When she's out of place in the home, she's wrong. And when she's out of place in the church, brother, she's wrong. And it's time preachers get up in the pulpits and tell women, 1 Corinthians says, chapter 14 and verse 34, let the women remain silent in the church. Verse 35 said it's a shame for a woman to get up and speak. It means to us authority over man. And brother, let me tell you something. A lot of little old preachers in Greensboro and Atlanta, Georgia, they got some old big jazzy bell in the church that tells him what to preach and when to preach. And it's pitiful to have a jazzy bell in there doing that. Well, let's come to truth. Our three things about silly women in the church. Number one, silly women that think God called them to preach. Say amen right there. Bless God, you Baptist, I don't care who you are. You're not going by the word of God when you lay your hands on a woman and let's say that she is to preach the word of God. That's abomination in the house of God. I don't believe there's ever been a pulpit big enough for petticoat in it. Say amen. Say amen. God, some of you getting awful quiet and come out and say, preacher, I said you, but you know what you did? You say, but I know a woman, preacher. I know her too, bless God. And I can tell you how she ran off with a man's, a woman's husband out here in Iowa. And I can tell you where she moved to Oil City, Pennsylvania. And I can tell you about a home she broke up in Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, if you want me to tell you after the service. And somebody said, hey, preacher! I'll tell you, God calls men. Calls men to preach. And brother, God still wants men. And God won't have anything but men. Are you listening to me? Brother, we're living in a time and a day and an hour. And they say, well, we'll get sick. Can you imagine your pastor being Miss So-and-so? in that beautiful. And church! Now, I realize some of you men are sissy as women, but bless God, some of you men are sissy, you wear high-heel shoes. Say amen right there. Yes, sir. But, brother, there's no place in the pulpit. It shouldn't be. You listen to me? Somebody said, preach, I didn't know you were going to preach. I told you all week I was going to preach it for us. You better come. Oh, I'm not coming yet. We're getting right down here to the nitty-gritty in a minute, man, boy. We're going to get down to where we live and where we need and what God wants us to hear of these abominations. Let me give you another abomination. They say, well, she'd make a good deaconess. Now, men, let me tell you something. You have enough, preachers, you have enough trouble with men deacons. And if you ever get a half and half, you like that cream I had out there for bread and my coffee, if you ever get half and half, you're really going to have a mess on your deacon board. Brother, just as sure as your name's what it is. You ever get a bunch of women on the deacons, let me tell you something. You have the biggest mess you ever had in your life. I believe God said search out men that are full of the Holy Ghost. And brother, that's the way it ought to be. God didn't say search out women. He said search out some men. Amen. It ought to be that way. And it's sad when it's not that way. And then you get some woman in the choir. And you say just what she wants you to say. She looks over to the preacher and gives him out old eyes and says, I want this in the preacher. Well, the Lord's leading that way. No, he's not. Bless God. That old Jezebel's leading that way. That old Jezebel's leading that way. I want to tell you, it's pitiful. Let me give you one other thing. I got to go off. Some of you are dying. I said, listen, but just as sure as my name's Mace Jackson. And brother, I'm standing in this pulpit. It says in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 20. You want to read it when you get home? Or it says in Jezebel, some of you suffer. That wicked woman Jezebel to teach. Listen to what it says. And to seduce. And he condemns having the wicked Jezebel. And it's pitiful, brother. I want to tell you what's the truth. Let me say one thing. Few preachers have got a good wife. And our few preachers have a wife that takes her place. Hold up your hand. You better get down on the ground and kiss the ground. Because I know some preachers, brother, that have got Jezebels to live with. And hell is all over the place. And they can't preach. And they can't study. And they can't minister. Because their wives are some Jezebels. It's pitiful. It's pitiful. It's pitiful. My wife is sitting. I'll give you a couple of illustrations. With me hearing a preacher, I like it. But he did get pretty vulgar that. I don't like vulgar preaching. Now, brother, I don't like nasty, but I don't want you saying anything in front of my wife. And I'm not going to say anything in front of your wife's nasty. I don't believe this pulpit is a place to talk about filth. And this preacher was over preaching one night. I finished preaching, I was sitting by my wife, and he got kind of dirty. My wife whispered and said, "Mays, can I get up? And can I leave?" And I said, "No." And the lady next to my wife said, "Doc, you're not going to get up. 100 people have already gotten up in that congregation." And Doc said, "No, my husband said for me to stay here. And I don't like what he's saying, but I want to do what May says." And I appreciated that. Boy, I got out and I apologized to my wife for what he said. But I said, "God, I want to tell you something. I appreciate you staying like I asked you to do." She said, "I believe that you're the head of the house and I'm going to do what you say to do." Now, listen, I believe the preacher's wife ought to be in a subjection to the preacher. And then we'll forget we were moving to Atlanta. And I didn't like Atlanta. I lived in Greenville, South Carolina. I just shouted, went up and down the aisles and hollered and hooted. And had me a time. God said, "You moved to Atlanta." And I said, "God, I don't know about Atlanta." I went down to Atlanta, held a meeting. I picked up the Atlanta Constitution, said it's over there in the section, said a house for sale, being transferred to Chicago, lovely home, sell it cheap. And I went over and looked at it, and I said, "Well, we'll take it." The man said, "Wait a minute, your wife hadn't seen it." I said, "Mister, let me tell you something. I said, I got a good wife. I said, my wife will go anywhere I go. And she won't question the house. I tell her to move in." "You said, preacher, when did you move in?" "3 weeks later." But listen to me. My wife didn't come over there anymore. You know, when my wife saw that house, when the big truck pulled up that day to unload her furniture, I said, "There it is, Doc." She said, "It's nice. I'm glad we're moving here." But she didn't see it till that day. She didn't say, "I don't want to move in that house." She didn't say, "I gotta see it first." She said, "God called you to preach, and I'll go with you. And I'll go with you, and I'll go with you." Listen, there's a place for women, but silly women are gonna wreck the fundamental movement, brother. As sure as your name's what it is. Number 6 this Sunday afternoon. There's a strange substitute for preaching in the fundamentals. Churches is abomination. Strange substitutes for preaching. Father, nothing will take the place of preaching. Listen, fundamentalism's built on Bible-believing preaching. And Father, the fundamental church had better stick by preaching. You say, "Well, preacher, what do they do now?" Hold your seat. They get a cowboy in. They get Mr. Funny Clown. Say amen, listen. Don't you down me. Brother in the house, listen. In our fundamental churches, they'll say, "We don't want to preach. Get old opera singer with 1.5 eyelash over here and 2 on his side. Bless God, to get up and squeal like a mockingbird. And do away with the preaching. We got to have a substitute for the preaching of the Word of God." Now, you can get all the clowns you want to in the church. Bless God. I want to tell you something. God's going to judge it. This pulpit's for preaching. Oh, fundamentalism is built on preaching and not clowns and cowboys and movie stars and everything else on the sun. And somebody said, "Preacher, you were criticizing. I told you I was going to preach on abominations in fundamental churches, brother. And as sure as you're sitting there, you know it's happening." I don't, you say, "Well, I know so-and-so. I don't care who he is." You say, "He's got a big church. I don't care if he has got a big church." Bless God, he's got a closed mind, man. We're going to send this thing all around America. Bless God, I hope every one of you get one of these. Say amen. You say, "Well, they won't like it." Well, I got news for you. I'm not preaching so they'll like it either. And I got news for you. I'm not preaching so you like it. I'm bringing this message. God put it on my heart. And I said, "God, I waited and waited for somebody else to do it. But if they don't do it, bless God, I'll do it, Father Grace." Substitutes for preaching. Let me tell you something. There's nothing that'll substitute. You can get all kinds. And I'll tell you what, some of you find them. You show a little picture show instead of having preaching. Say amen like that. Oh, sure. You got to show it. You say what? Nothing takes the place of preaching. I'll get you now. Listen to me. And somebody said, "Well, we won't show a film, but we'll have a little play. And we'll dramatize everything and do away with the preaching." Bible, listen to me. Nothing is to do away with the preaching of the Word of God. Preach the Word. Brother, it needs to be done. Now listen to me. give you something else. And don't look at anybody while I say this. Please don't. But if you can't, if plays and films and clowns and quit looking at them, don't you look at anybody when I say this. And then you'll have a singing. Oh, yeah! You'll say, praise God! We'll just get a bunch of singers in and we'll sing it out instead of preaching it out. Brother, we'd better go to preaching it out. Are you listening to me? Abominations in fundamental churches across this land, and it's pitiful. Now, I'm going to give you something. This is going to stir. I mean, you can send it to him, too. You hear me? I'll pay for the record. They got so in many of our fundamental churches now, they don't want preaching, so they combine preaching and Sunday school and have one service so they can just teach a little and not disturb folks and have one little service. And you say, I want to tell you that's a trick of the devil to do away with the preaching of the Word of God. And Father, listen to me. I believe it's time for us to go in. And if you're going to do away with anything, do away with the Sunday school, but not the preaching of the blessed Word of God. Better preach his word. That's the thing that's going to stand, and that's the thing, only thing that will stand in these days. But they say, preacher, we're going to combine our service in the morning. We ain't going to have no more of that preaching. And one of the biggest preachers in America, and I hope he gets this, said he didn't believe in revivals. Said his church stayed in revival. Well, I'll tell you, most of the people in this house, and you know it, were saved in revival campaigns. God has a time of reaping. The evangelist is God's love gift to the church. And brother, listen to me. You need the evangelist, and the evangelist needs the church, and we need to recognize. I want to tell you something, doing away with the preaching and saying, we'll put it all together and have one little service. And that satisfies some of you. Bless God, you watch your watch. You don't like a bunch of Indians anyway while I'm a preaching. And then want to get out and say, well, I'll tell you, he's too long-winded. Now, you know what's the matter with you? You're so carnal and full of the devil and full of the world. Until when the preaching gets under your heart, you want the benediction instead of the preaching of the Word of God. You know I'm telling you, God, we need it today. Somebody said, preacher, maze. Oh, these wrathless and abominations. And these churches that are fundamental, and they say, we'll squeeze the preaching out. We'll just have a little teaching, and we'll all go home in time so we can go out to see old Aunt Sue, or go to the graveyard and squall a bunch of tears, or go to a Sunday afternoon singing, listen to something wrong. Fundamental churches had better go back to saying the first thing and the most important thing about singing and about Sunday school and above everything is the preaching of the Word of God and the substitute for preaching. All right, that's abomination number 6. Now here's abomination number 7. Abomination number 7 is a strange spiritual deadness. In a fundamental, listen, if anybody ought to be alive, it ought to be a fundamental church. Oh, but you go, I'm going to tell you something now. You can puff up and get mad if you want to, but you listen to me. You can go in the average fundamental church in Greensboro, North Carolina, and there's a strange sound of deadness. You think you was in a funeral parlor. They get up and say, we believe in being filled with the Holy Ghost. And if God were to demonstrate himself around that, I want to tell you, it's that fundamental crowd would run out the back door. Oh, if somebody shout, it's scared that outfit to death. And if somebody holler, amen. It sound like a callboy down here at the train station announcing track 49, number 24, coming in right now. Amen. Why, it'd be pitiful. You know what I'm talking about. Some of these fundamental, they cross, and you know I'm fundamental. Don't you come around here, and they cross every T and dot every I, and they say, well, they believe in being spirit, filled with the Spirit. And you walk in there, and nobody gets blessed, and nobody sheds a tear. Nobody ever gets lifted up. Nobody ever raises a hand. Nobody ever praises God. Let me tell you something, mister. That's abomination to go in a fundamental church. And the fiend is dead at 4 o'clock in the morning. There's a strange deadness in some of the fundamental churches, most all of them, if you please. Somebody said, preacher, you're really getting down. That's right. My Bible said twice dead and plucked up of the roots. I want to dedicate that to some of you little fundamentals that don't believe in raising your eyebrow. You've never said amen. You've never raised your hand. You know what I want some of you folks to do? I want you to go home this afternoon and get in your house, lock the door, then go to the next room and lock that door, and then go to the back room and lock that door behind you, and cut off the light and stick up your hand and see if it don't bless you, Hallie. Be sure that your prayer is not heard. Be sure that nobody sees you. I want you to go back there. Tell you something and I'll close. Jesus Christ is alive. If he's the head of the church, and he is. Well, because he is, we live also. We're not serving a dead Christ, we're serving a living Christ. This is a living book. God's people that really love him are alive. It's dead outfit, I doubt they've ever been saved. The letter of the law killeth, but the spirit quickeneth and maketh alive. Woo! That's a resurrection! That's power! That's a unity among the people of God. And brother, there's no spiritual or strange deadness where God's working. You may not shout like me, but you'll have a shout in your soul. You may not clap your hands like me, but you'll have a shout in your soul. Oh, listen, there might be a spiritual madness. Let me say this and I close. We're going to England this year, the Lord willing. And I hope we do. I hope we get to go to England on our trip to the Holy Land. Somebody said, you want to go to the tabernacle? I've been there. I don't make a difference. But I'd like to go to John Wesley's grave. You say, he's a Methodist. That's right, but he loved God. And I'd like to go out there like that old Negro preacher did years ago. They said there's a Negro preacher that came from America and said he was standing there with a tour. As the lecturer said, here lies the remains of John Wesley. That man that went across England and lit the fires of evangelism. That man that made God alive in the hearts of people. That man that showed that God wasn't dead. That here lies the remains of that man that made God alive to so many people. And they started to disperse. And that old nigger preacher said, wait on me a minute. And he went over and fell across prostrate the grave of John Wesley and beat the ground. And he said, Lord, do it again. Lord, do it again to this old black boy. Let people know that God's alive. Let people know that this thing's alive. Brother, it ought to be our prayer on this Sunday afternoon. Do it again. Our fundamental church is the only hope we have. And if 10 years from now they go as far as they have in the last 5 years, I'm praying men set up a standard. Men, be not conformed. Let's go back to the book. Let's go with God. Oh, let's not go with the world and the trends and the fads and the gimmicks. Let's go with Jesus. Let's go with God. Abominations. Fundamental churches. Would you bow your head?